The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At daybreak, he appeared in the temple again, and as all the people came to him, he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman along who had been caught committing adultery. And making her stand there in full view of everybody, they said to Jesus, "Master, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery, and Moses has ordered us in the law to condemn women like this to death by stoning. What have you to say?" They asked him this as a test, looking for something to use against him. But Jesus bent down and started writing on the ground with his finger. As they persisted with their question, he looked up and said, "If there is one of you who has not sinned, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he bent down and wrote on the ground again. When they heard this, they went away one by one, beginning with the eldest, until Jesus was left alone with the woman, who remained standing there. He looked up, said, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she replied. "Neither do I condemn you," said Jesus. "Go away and don't sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord. The bishop has sent us another pastoral letter, not to do with the new pope. It came well before that. But it says to be read to you all on this day. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Christian church will always identify itself in its principal symbol, the cross. Jesus came among us to reconcile us to his Father. Not by waving a magic wand over our sinfulness, but by subverting to redemptive purposes. It becomes the raw material of the manifestation of the love his Father has towards us, and which he expresses in his own person. To have some understanding of the cross, and so of the nature of our redemption, we need to appreciate at least two important givens of our faith. The first and primary given is the immensity of God's love for us. The cross is the chief sign of that. God's love for us is cruciform. It is big and immense enough to overcome the accumulated evil that our sinfulness constitutes. Sin is, of its nature, destructive of all that is true, good and beautiful. Our sinfulness is the other given. Its nature is powerfully captured in today's gospel, which we've just heard. The group of sinners who see themselves as righteous bring a sinner into the presence of the sinless one. The group are full of vengeance, not only against the woman, but also Jesus. The woman represents a common form of sin, sexual sin. What does Jesus do? He challenges the accusers to face their own sinfulness. They start doing that by their silence and departure. Then Jesus challenges the woman, gently but firmly, and invites her to change the way she is living. The incident captures the love of his Father that is the driving force of Jesus' ministry, the love his Father has for wayward humanity. Jesus' love for all those involved is expressed in the way he highlights their sinfulness. The accusers are challenged to acknowledge their malice, and the woman is invited to see her old way of life as destructive, and to find a new way of living. God's love, when acknowledged and responded to, creates an opportunity to change, for untruth to give way to truth, for evil to give way to good, and ugliness to give way to beauty. The cross, as it impacts on our lives, is the radical agent of change. This power comes from God, who reigns from the cross. The drama of Calvary is the drama of human malice trying to destroy everything God is. It apparently succeeds as Jesus dies, but spectacularly fails because Jesus becomes the Easter Jesus. The difficult part is about the suffering and death. We do not find it easy to accept or understand or live. The cross becomes the way of life for the disciple. We die to ourselves and live to reflect God's love for us in the way we love one another. The pain is the pilgrimage we undertake from selfishness to selflessness. Genuine love will always be sacrificial in some way. As we venerate and meditate on the cross, we find ourselves appreciating the love of God as revealed by Jesus to sinful human beings. And in that context, we will be able to acknowledge our sinfulness and work with it as we allow the Lord to work in our redemption by changing the way we live. As we approach Holy Week, we celebrate what Jesus has done for us out of love for us. The invitation to us is to respond by the way we try to love. As I say, that always has something of a sacrificial nature about it. We draw the strength from this, from our regular participation in the liturgy of the Church, especially the Eucharist. The agenda of our lives is to love each other as we have been loved. May God bless you. Signed, Bishop Christopher. But in a way, I want to just add to that Pope Francis, because as you recognize already, I think everybody warmed almost to him immediately. And of course, that choice of name that he said, the first Francis we've ever had as Pope, that love for the poor, but also that making peace, make me a channel of your peace, that great hymn, St. Francis' Prayer, left us, are the two things. But look, the media already trying to dig dirt on him from the time of the junta that took place in Argentina, as you know, in the 80s. And in a way, people feel affronted by it. But in a way, we shouldn't. It's what the media do, and it's what they did to Jesus. Those sinners went, taking the woman, but were really aiming, what do you think? They were really trying to get at him as well, and it's ever been so. Fortunately, I'm quite sure Francis is quite able to cope with all that, but it's what the media do, and maybe they need to hear this morning's gospel. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone.